Good to see everybody getting in here early. This is new. Praises. Denise.
I praise God that he's able to be here, because I got to the home this morning and they're like, oh, he's not on the list. We need a 24-hour notice. I says, he's supposed to be on the list for every Sunday at 9 o'clock and every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 o'clock for a visitation at the window. So, needless to say, I asked to talk to whoever's in charge. They got his nurse, and she called the director of the home, and she gave the okay for him to come out.
Amen.
I was ready to have him just wheel himself out the door. I mean, what are they going to physically hold him back? I was ready to call you, Pastor, about his amendment.
Okay. All right. Well, hey.
We'll break them out.
We'll do a jailbreak here going on. Clarissa.
Today is James and my 12-year anniversary.
Oh, my. 12 years.
Yeah. Thank you.
Man, you're still newlyweds. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I still like him.
And you still like him. Mostly. Most of the time. Morning, Ed, Tammy, good to see you. Who else? Praises, Paula.
I get to come to Sunday school.
You do. Get to be here today. Keith.
Although I got maybe 2 hours of sleep last night, I was still able to get Desiree and get to church.
You got 2 hours?
About two.
That's, you don't have a new baby in your home.
I'm the baby. Oh.
Justin's saying that's about what he got last night, about 2 hours. How much sleep do you get, Tara?
I wake up every, 2 hours.
Every two hours. That's interesting. You know, when you're young, you start having children, you wake up every 2-3 hours. And then after a while, you get a little older, you start waking up every 2-3 hours again.
Amen.
So, who else? Praises.
I'm not waking up in the middle of the night.
All right.
I'm not here. Even after a hectic labor, I have a beautiful daughter.
You do. They are so precious. Desiree.
Amen. I praise the Lord for being here today. I praise the Lord that in times of troubles, God always got me. I have to worry when my God can move mountains. And I praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Karen.
I was under the impression last night, which she is here, but that my daughter was going to bring me. Early this morning, she said she wasn't, and I want to praise God for Harley, a short notice, for getting me here. But my daughter is here now.
Amen. Sherry is here after all that prodding, proking, and cutting, and not, you know.
Well, I didn't have to cut yet.
Not yet, but anyway.
Praise God that it's all
going to
be good.
Amen. God's been awfully good to a whole bunch of us lately. Really has. Vicki.
I praise God for all the brand new church members. Three that have joined our church just within the last couple of weeks. We've been blessed like crazy with all new baby girls. And I praise God that even though Joe Biden's president, God's still in control.
Well,
it's not over until it's over.
You already know that America deserves Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, folks that don't turn to the Lord are going to get what they deserve. So, yeah, I'm not excited about it, but I'm excited to see some of the stuff that God's going to do in spite of it.
Revelations.
He still runs the program. All right, Denise. Yes.
I actually have two more.
Okay.
One, I finished my first full week on my new job on my own, and it went well.
Cool.
Told I did a really good job. And two, my sister's family opened up their own little cafe in Florida. They've been open a week yesterday, and they're doing really, really well.
Cool. Wonderful. Anybody else? Ed?
I got a job. Praise the Lord.
Awesome.
Starts Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And the only thing they can tell me, it's a security company doing gas detectors, fire suppression systems, and in-home security, electronics, right?
Okay, yeah.
I said, they don't work Sundays. You got Sundays off. So I'm like,
I'll take it. Amen. Awesome. Tara?
I want to praise everyone who, like, pitched in for my baby shower.
Amen. Amen. Karen?
I have one more. My mother, praise the Lord, be 92 Monday, is still lives alone.
Okay. Paula?
Praise God for that.
In the beginning of the week, it looked pretty slow and everything, and Miss Lisa came in on Tuesday and made the whole week just turn around, and I got really busy and had a great week.
Awesome. Cool. Cool. You sent her home all stripy looking. She likes it.
Yeah, she likes it. I'm like, okay. All right. Speak now or
forever. Oh, I'm totally flexible with the hair thing. I have no issues with that. My hairdo is pretty generic, so. Jonathan.
I got a praise. One, that Joey's okay. Like, I had a friend that got killed by a car.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty big deal for me. Two, I almost got in a really bad car wreck on 45 up by Beltway 8 the other day. And I got saved from that one. That was pretty cool to see. That my work has been steady. And that, you know, I can still spend time with a few of my friends every now and then. So.
Amen. Good. All right, Paula again, and Josh.
Speaking of Joey and glad he's going to be okay, I was almost in three different ones. People are going crazy out there.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
God protected me and got me out of them.
Amen. Amen. Josh?
Oh, well, my wife brought her truck as well. I brought my truck and she brought her truck. And my praise is that because I just locked my keys in my truck. So because she has her truck, I don't have to walk home to get spare keys.
Just little things that count.
That's right.
Well, praise the Lord, you have a spare key.
Yeah, that too.
You won't have to use your antenna.
Right.
Yeah. How many times have I unscrewed a Ford antenna and pushed a little wedge in a door and unlocked it? Yeah.
It works.
And then wonder if that wind noise is caused by the fact that I got that key out of there the way I did. But anyway, who else? Anybody? Going once, twice. Vicki again.
I just want to praise God for my awesome husband. No matter what I do, he seems to always support me and be proud of me and praise me. And before being married to him, I never knew how good it was to be married.
Well. Okay. Oh. I knew that was coming. Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. Proverbs chapter 20. There's a saying that goes, who can tell me what it means, the phrase poking the bear? You know what that means?
Aggravating, agitating, an angry person.
It's aggravating or provoking someone who bigger and more powerful than you. It is really a dumb thing to do, poking the bear. It's like going in a cave and, oh, there's a bear. Oh, I wonder if he's awake.
See if he'll attack me.
Really dumb thing to do. Really dumb. Well, that's actually in the Bible. It's just not spoken of as a bear. Chapter 20, verse 2, it says, the fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. I read that and I thought, that's poking the bear. That has to be what that's talking about. Poking the bear. Sinneth against his own soul. It's pretty strong. You know, there's a lot of things that we do that damages us, that causes us anguish and trouble. And actually, that description can range from anything from getting smacked around to just about anything as bad as you want to imagine. Because what happens to people who provoke a king to anger? Yeah, you could lose your head over that. So, anyway, we won't spend a whole lot of time on that one. I don't know if you ever been one of these people, but there are people that don't know when to shut up. Cop will pull them over, and they start arguing with policemen about why he pulled them over. Shut up. Do yourself a favor and shut your mouth. Poking the bear is not healthy. It is not healthy to poke the bear, whether it be arguing with the policeman, whether it be talking back to the judge. There are so many ways to do stupid stuff that it just is what it is. So don't do that. Is that a good enough lesson for today? Don't do that. There are some things you just don't do that, you know. You can just shut up. And this really fits with the next verse, by the way. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. Ever get into an argument with somebody?
Never.
Never? How many people does it take to strive?
Two.
If one of them won't strive, what happens?
The other one's fighting with the other.
It takes two people to argue.
Or at least two personalities.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Pun intended.
All right, there's your example for today. Very often we can feel like if we don't get our point across, then we've just failed, you know. And we owe it to ourselves. I have a right to be heard. I mean, say it any way you want to say it. But the fact is, you really don't need to say it. I mean, if you're warning somebody, if you're helping somebody, but arguments. Have you ever won an argument? Really? Tell me about that, Josh.
I quit talking, and the person I was arguing with talked themselves into what I was going to tell them. They didn't know that I'd won, but I knew I won.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. It's like lawsuits. There are very few winners in lawsuits.
The lawyer.
Well, lawyers are the winners, but pretty much nobody else. This is why the Bible says to settle with somebody while thou art in the way with them. In other words, when it's going on, get it settled then. Don't drag it out and keep going back and forth and back and forth, because it's just going to escalate. It's going to get worse. You ever been in a situation where the argument just escalated? Starts out over this, and back and forth, and back and forth. And every time it goes back, it gets a little higher pitch and a little worse. And you can be involved in that, or you can eliminate yourself from that. What does God say? It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. You are the one who is maintaining your honor when you are the one who simply just shuts up and refuses to do it. Did you lose when you did that? Well, what if you did? You're going to win anyway. What's the point? Why go through all that stress? Why go through all that pain or all that Suzuki syndrome is what I kind of, you know. Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah, like a Suzuki two-stroke bike. But every fool will be meddling. Most of the things people argue about aren't really any of their business. Not always, but very often what people argue about is really not their business, not their deal. Just take that to the bank and learn to drop out of the argument when they come up. Okay? That's another don't do that. Don't poke the bear.
Don't argue with him.
Don't argue with the bear. Just let it go. We're going to start talking about laziness now. Do you have a lazy streak? Everybody does. Well, you think? Probably, maybe. I don't know. Just because I don't like work, does that mean I have a lazy streak? Oh, I do actually like work. I work all the time, seems like. But here's what it says. The sluggard. I just love God's illustration, his animal illustrations. You know, the Bible says, talks about the eagle a lot. He talks about the lion a lot. I mean, verse 12, the king's wrath is the roaring of a lion. The fear of king is as the roaring of a lion. But God uses critters all the time to illustrate stuff for us. I mean, you ever heard a lion roar close up? You ever been to the zoo and heard that guy let go? Oh, man, it'll shake you to your soul. I mean, I would sure hate to be out on the plains in Africa and hear that up close and not have some kind of a cage to get in or something. Boy. Anyway, two of the critters that God uses to illustrate truth to us, one of them is a sloth. Remember him? We were studying about him in two or three weeks ago. Verse 24 of chapter 19, a slothful man hideth his hand in the bosom. There is another one. What's the other one?
A slug.
A slug. Slick, slimy, and slow. The sluggard. Well, where's the word sluggard come from? Slug. The sluggard. Will not plow by reason of the cold.
It's too cold out there.
It's too cold. I'll freeze if I go out there. It's not comfortable.
The cold sounds good enough to me.
Does life ever require you to be uncomfortable sometimes?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yes.
Even people who go to the gym and like it aren't necessarily comfortable while they're there. They hurt. Well, they hurt in order to feel good. Go figure. It works. Therefore, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. There's a law involved in this right here. A very common spiritual law. What is it?
Reap what you sow.
Yeah. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He who soweth nothing,
reaps nothing.
Gets to reap nothing. There it is. If you won't plow and put seed in the ground, you're not going to have anything when it comes harvest time.
Remember you were teaching us about reaping to the flesh, reaping to the spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the flesh says it's too cold outside to go and plow, you're reaping to the flesh. And yeah. You're going to sow from the flesh, yeah. Which is corruption and starvation.
Therefore he shall beg and harvest. When it's cold, it is plowing time. Especially in wheat and barley and that sort of grains. Do what it takes, whether it's comfortable or not. Got that? You do what it takes to get the job done, whether it's comfortable or not. Were you comfortable having that baby?
No.
No.
Well, that was a resounding
no.
No. But you did what it takes to get the job done.
The reward was worth it.
And the reward is present. Yeah. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. This is kind of hard. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. Deep water, what's deep water illustrating?
Well,
Like an ocean or
flood or
lots of mass. Lots.
All right. Well, you're talking about council.
Isn't it like the water?
And you can't quite see your way through it. Council, you're talking about council, and you're talking about deep water. Do you ever hear somebody say something, and you say, well, that's pretty deep? Yeah. Well, this is what we're talking about here. This is where that comes from. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Counseling someone who is too shallow to receive the counsel, you come to an impasse. You just can't get it across. There are things like verse 3, for example. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. And somebody who's all the time going on and on and on and on and arguing, and, you know, you can talk to them about it, but it's almost impossible to get it across. Believe me, I've tried on many occasions. But it takes someone of understanding to draw it out. This is a hard thing. What it kind of comes down to is that you can't always help everybody who needs it. You can't always help everybody who really wants help or asks you for help. Do you ever have people come and ask you advice? Are you always able to help them? You can give them good advice. What happens when you give them good advice? They take it or leave it, or they may not be capable of getting it, of computing, of understanding it. It takes someone who has a basic certain level of understanding in order to get deeper understanding. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
If you don't have some basic understanding of certain things, you're not ever going to get into a deeper understanding of that until you get, you know, you kind of want to work your way up to a certain level of understanding before you can go on. In other words, you can't jump from first base to third. You got to go through second. Yes, Daryl.
Kind of reminds me of new Christians. You know, you're a baby in Christ, and as you grow and seek God's word, and you grow in the knowledge of the Lord and spiritually growing.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what it reminds me of. You can't just go from a baby in Christ to, you know, a spiritual grown person without.
No, there's a lot of steps in between, and to get to the deep water, you got to wade through a lot of shallow water and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper to get to it. I mean, that's just how it works. And you can't just jump ahead of yourself or of your own level of where you are in your understanding.
From milk to meat.
Yeah. You had your hand up, Drew.
This kind of makes me think of, like, having the wisdom to do something, but it's so far down deep underneath distractions and everything else that can keep you from applying it. Like being a doer and not just a hearer only of the word. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
Yeah. There are still a lot of people that think that they can make a living without really working at it. Yes, Hardy.
Well, I thought I'd come all the way in here because I heard what you were talking about with the verse. Today's sermon is actually kind of a perfect example of what we're talking about here.
It is. Yeah, well, I guess I'll have to introduce today's sermon since you've looked at the notes already.
It's something you love talking about. We'll start with tithing. Take it from there.
Yeah. Today is Heart of Purpose Sunday at Lighthouse, by the way. I told you it was coming. It's today. Heart of Purpose Sunday is, I think, a wonderful, special day for us. It's for some of you, it is. For others, this is exactly what we're talking about. You have to have a certain amount of understanding in order to even comprehend what we're talking about when we're talking about heart of purpose. You have to have learned to trust God for other things than saving you from your sin. Daryl?
I got a perfect example.
Okay.
I'm always bragging on God. You know.
Okay.
Anybody comes through my doors at the shop, they're going to hear something about the Lord.
Amen. Okay.
And I was telling this one customer, I hadn't seen her in quite a while. Evidently, she doesn't have an understanding of how tithing works. Because I told her about how we slowed down to zero cars. And I had a couple of tithe checks in my wallet and hadn't been to church. So I came up and unlocked the door. And I thought at first, well, I'm going to need that money. She goes, yeah. Then I told her, I said, no, this is God's money. Well, you gave it anyway? I said, well, yeah, it's not mine. And she looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
I told her, I put the money in there in that chest. I said, Lord, this is yours. I trust you. And because it was. And what, a day or two later, the bottom fell out. I've been busy ever since. Hadn't slowed down yet. That was what, March?
Yeah. Well, there
I've ever been.
Yeah. And what a coincidence.
There's no coincidence there.
No, there's no chance or happenstance.
But that's what people think, because that's what they're used to. Yeah. They haven't arrived there yet. They haven't seen God do the things that some of us now have seen him do. You remember when you hadn't, I'll get you just a minute, Paula. You remember when you hadn't seen God do this stuff? Remember when you first started? You had to just, well, you know, okay, I'm just going to do it then, you know. You hadn't seen what God's going to do. And then he began to show you. To get to deep water, it's a process.
Oh, wait for Paula. I want to say
it takes some understanding first. Paula, go ahead.
It should be a praise that I should add it in, but I've got a very large tithe this week because of a praise that I finally got my stimulus checks.
Ha-ha!
I didn't know there were such things.
We finally got ours.
Are there stimulus checks going out?
Or whatever it's called.
Hey? Well, I don't ever get one, so. They think I'm loaded or something. I don't know what they think, but I don't get one. Oh, I know what it is, because I haven't filed our taxes yet for that year. That would explain it. Do you feel stimulated?
I was when I seen it in there.
Okay, all right, there we go.
$2,400.
They say alcohol is a stimulant. I think a check would be better.
It'll be the largest tie I've ever done.
Really? Wonderful. Cool. Well, that's what, of course, Heart of Purpose is about. It's that time to rethink it and choose what we're going to give. Yes, Daryl?
Sorry to be the loudmouth today, but whenever I was a young Christian and I heard, you know, tithed and preached, I tried it, remember, you know, and I didn't trust the Lord. I quit tithing. I can't afford that. I was in need all the time, even though I made really good money. And so when I started trusting the Lord and seeing how it says in his word, if it says it in there, it's true. And so I started trusting him. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'm going to be mentioning that experience that a lot of people have tried tithing. You can't, that, you know, there's certain things you can't try. You can do it or not do it, but you can't try. Josh, go ahead.
On the tithing, when we did Bible class, and you showed me the Bible, what tithing was and what it meant, it scared me of battle. I was like, I'm not stealing from God. No. So that's my first thing. I'm not going to steal from God. It freaked me out. Anyway, that's just the way I think about it.
Another question. When I was tithing, I was in a Pentecostal church, and I don't know whether I was paying or, you know, helping a cause that these people are wrong in their doctrine, and if the Lord honored that or not.
Still doing what the Bible tells you to do.
I would.
Well, that's back when I also said I can't afford this. Because I was making really good money, and I was giving quite a bit. And
well,
I looked at it and said, I'm keeping it.
People that teach you you can lose your salvation, and ultimately depends on your works. I don't call a church, period.
So they were just making
They haven't met the requirements.
They're just getting rich, homie.
But anyway, I don't know now whether God would have blessed you because of your own choice to trust Him, probably. But I don't know, you know, about that. But I do know that, you know, it's kind of like baptism, okay? Baptism isn't just a dunk in the water. Baptism requires a proper authority. Not everybody has authority to baptize somebody. Only a real church does. It requires a proper candidate. The real baptism can only be given to somebody who's saved first, genuinely born again. And it requires a proper method, which is immersion in water to picture the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord. You throw either one of those out, you don't have real baptism. Well, everything, you know, the other things are pretty much like that. I would say for your answer that I don't really want to say what I think about that. But
I think it's just it was up to the Lord to examine the condition of my heart.
Yeah. But giving to the Lord is... You want to know the message title today?
Heart of Purpose.
Well, no, that's the day, but the day title, but it's becoming generous, overcoming our stingy streak. That's what we're doing. There are just several things that have really helped me. I didn't start out generous. You know, I grew up poor and I didn't know anything about generosity. I'd never seen it, so I didn't know anything about it. But I think I'm generally a pretty generous person now. But it took the Lord a lot of work to get me there. Ed?
Back on our passage, the second half of it there?
Yeah.
But a man of understanding will draw it out. Like a pastor or a teacher, when I've read this verse in the past, draw it out, like physically drawing it, show it, it's teaching, it's... Like you counsel,
yeah.
You show them, or you teach them. You,
yeah. Well, deep. How are you going to get deep water? You got to draw it out. I mean, it's a process. In other words, it is.
Is that what the word "draw" means in that passage?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Think so. Yeah. Okay. All right. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Well, do they ever? There's a multitude of teaching about this subject. Is it wrong to be able to state firmly and unequivocally what you can do and can't do? Whether you can do a job or not, what your level of expertise is, so to speak? Is that always wrong to do that? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. I found that most people who proclaim their own goodness being in a construction business, you're going to deal with this pretty much daily. Bubba has had a good bit of experience in this category. If a man could actually do what he says he could do, how wonderful would that be? But... I mean, it is so rare that somebody can actually do what they say they can do. I mean, it's like, well, what's just like God says here? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Where is the guy that can actually do what he says he can do? There's two things to learn about this. One of them is don't get too high on bragging on yourself. Yeah, you got to tell people what you're able to do and what you can. If I can do it, I can. I remember starting out doing what I've been doing all the years besides pastoring and preaching in construction. And people would say, well, I need this, this, and this done, and that done, and I need this fixed, and I need that repaired, and all this going down this list. And every one of those things has a necessity for me to be able to say whether or not I can do that or not. And early on, I said that I could do it when I'd never done it before.
Amazing.
I wasn't lying. I knew I could do it. I just didn't know exactly how yet, but I knew I would get it done, and did every time. I never once failed. Sometimes it means hiring a sub that's a pro at it. Right, Josh?
Yes, sir.
There you go. See, that's. But yes, but if you want to find somebody with a good name in business, you want to find somebody that's busy all the time, that people are coming to, it's people who are able to do what they say they can do. And it's refreshing to find somebody who, when they can't do it, are up front and tell you about it. A lot of people think that if you can't do everything perfectly, then you're not good enough to be in business or whatever. Now, everybody's limited to some degree. Josh?
I've actually picked up several jobs by telling customers I can't do it. They ask me, can you do this? I said, no, I can't do it. If I can't do it right, I'm not going to do it at all. And they'll end up giving me some other business that they wanted done, but because I was honest with them, they said, you know what, why don't you just go ahead and take care of this for me?
There you go. But a faithful man who can find? You find somebody that's faithful, hire them to do what they're capable of doing, and you're going to have a happy conclusion. This is about your kids. The just man walketh in his integrity. And man is not only italicized, it's generic. It's person. It goes for you ladies too. A just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Integrity is something that's priceless. Give me what your definition of integrity sounds like. I got Josh and Daryl, and let's start with Josh.
Doing it the right way when no one's watching you.
Okay, Jonathan?
Same thing?
Same thing? Well,
doing
I guess.
Doing the right thing even when no one's looking.
Okay. Well, there's always somebody looking.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, doing the right thing, whether they're looking or not. Integrity. How does walking in integrity bless your children?
I'm going to say that it relates to the verse before it too. Proclaiming your own goodness, the person of integrity won't tell you that they can do something that they can't actually do well.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Jerry.
The way it blesses your children is set a proper example.
Setting a proper example.
They're always watching.
They are. Children are like God in that way. They're always watching. Ed, go ahead.
Your integrity and your trustworthiness, so to speak, goes with you. I've had individuals in my life say, I knew your father, and he did this. You're his son. Yeah, come on. You earn on his integrity.
Yeah.
You're blessed sometimes.
And you don't have to answer this out loud in class, but just did you have parents that set that kind of an example for you? Not everybody does. Not everybody does. And did it cost you? We're always going to follow our parents' example to a degree. Where else do you learn how to do anything except watching your parents? I mean, who else is there to watch? You know, I mean, when you're little, I mean, Terry, it's you. She's going to watch you. It's going to be her and you for, you know, how you do things, how you speak. She's going to pick up on all of that. Integrity, doing it right, being honest, trustworthy, all those things, they're priceless. Denise.
They are priceless, and sometimes they will cause you to lose things in your life, whether it be a job, marriage,
friends,
and that's okay.
Yeah, it is. It's necessary. It's like all the other expenses. It's necessary. Yes, Josh, go ahead.
That's why I always say that my kids teach me more than I teach them.
Amen.
You'll find out a lot about yourself by watching your kids do stuff.
That's true, because they're going to mirror you.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Where did you learn that word?
Yeah.
Well, Oh, I taught you that word. Okay, sorry about that. His children are blessed after him. That doesn't mean his children aren't going to do some stupid stuff. All children do stupid stuff. That's why they call them children. Denise, go ahead.
Well, yes, we all say out of the mouths of babes is the honesty, but there's actually a country song out that says, I've been watching you, and it
I was just thinking, I'm your buckaroo.
Yes, yeah. And it talks about, you know, the kid saying a bad word, but then again, it talks about the child praying also. So, yeah. Yes, they are always watching.
Yeah, amen.
Talking about kids.